1 Corinthians chapter 12, we've been talking about spiritual gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 12, there are 9 that are specifically listed. And 3 are gifts of, in a sense, they say something, or gifts of utterance. And we're gonna look at the last two today. 3 power gifts, we're going to start looking at those next week. And 3 revelational gifts, they reveal something from God. And 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And from, if you keep reading the next 3 chapters, it's fairly evident that there was some ignorance at the church in Corinth. And while they were commended that they were doing some things right, Paul was giving them guidance and instruction about the administration and the use of these wonderful gifts for the body. 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." All right, and all these gifts are supernatural. That is, they're not just us, you know, being smart or trying harder, but they come from above. And they are administered by the Holy Spirit. And so they are these gifts, and there's so much of the Bible that is for us, okay, and blessings that we receive. These gifts are to us for others, all right? They're for other people to be a blessing to them, all right? And we're going to look at the last 2 utterance gifts. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, all right, and I believe it's verse 10, it says, "To another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues," all right, tongues and interpretation of tongues, all right. Now, I've got a privilege that I grew up in a church that the gifts were not used, all right, they weren't on display. I never really heard anything positive or negative, it was unmentioned, okay? And then in that same church, which was what we would refer to a more traditional church, in the 1970s, the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, began to operate in that church in a wonderful, wonderful way. And it was new. And at that, the church we went to, growing as a little kid, it was the church where, you know, a lot of doctors and lawyers and those kind of guys went, and judges. And when God began to move in supernatural ways, it some people were concerned, and they thought, you know, what is this? And when we begin to talk about tongues and interpretation of tongues, and tongues is simply that God, through the Holy Spirit, and it's throughout the book of Acts, is that, and it was prophesied that it would happen. All right, I will speak to them in stammering lips of an unknown tongue. That was prophesied about our covenant. We begin to think, oh, wait a second, that's weird. You know, that's different. That's strange. You know, I can handle, you know, nice music, you know, maybe some nice jokes, but speaking in tongues, that's weird. All right. Just a few thoughts before we begin. But when you look at, and the theological term for tongues is glossolalia. All right, impress your friends, all right, and tell them you heard about glossolalia today at church, all right? But that is the phenomenon of other tongues. When you look at church history, there has never been a time since the day of Pentecost to 2013 where glossolalia, speaking in tongues, has not been in church history. You'll see it throughout. Now, there were times where it was more prevalent than at others, and certainly it is extremely prevalent right now. In fact, since the turn of like the 1900s, when there was just, in a sense, an outpouring, 80% of every person that's born again on planet Earth in the last 20 to 30 years, 80% of people that are born again happen through the efforts of Pentecostals and Charismatics. And so we're not just kind of some crazed weirdos on the other side of the tracks. This is something that God is doing in the earth, and it's very, very biblical. All right, and I'm so thankful also that what we would say the gifts, including the of tongues that we'll see today, It is also in other churches, what we would say not traditional Pentecostal or charismatic churches. I know the first year we started Rhema, there was a beautiful lady that came from one of the Catholic parishes here in town. And she came and she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit while she was at Rhema. And she was trained for 2 years. She's back at her parish. And I know the two fathers where she goes, the priest there. And whenever I chat, and they bring it up to me, they say, "Oh, she is such a blessing. Oh, my goodness, what an outstanding Christian she is. And she does A, B, C, D. Oh, we are just so thankful that she went to Rhema." And so she's there. She's not, you know, causing havoc. She's a blessing. Why? Because of the power of God operating in her life. I've got friends in the city that, you know, are in what we would say traditional churches, but they're charismatic. All right, they speak in tongues. All right, maybe not, you know, every single Sunday. All right, but it's a part of their life and it's a part of their lifestyle. But let me just get back to that idea of, you know, this is weird. All right, but you understand when you became a Christian, you kind of entered into weird. Right. We believe, all right, according to the Bible, we believe that God spoke the earth into existence. We believe, according to the Bible, that a teenage girl became pregnant by the Holy Spirit, a virgin birth. We believe that her son, Jesus, lived a sinless life. Are you kidding me? There's some people in this room that are hoping for a sinless day. You know, Jesus lived a sinless life. He died. He was murdered. But here's the thing. Unlike anybody on planet Earth, he didn't stay dead. He was raised from the dead. And here's the other cool thing. He didn't die again. While he was talking to his disciples, he just did a reverse bungee back up to heaven, you know? And went up into the cloud. Come on, folks. That's weird. I mean, the Apostles' Creed, we believe in the virgin birth. The whole thing, folks, is weird. Right? So, you know, you had me weird at the virgin birth, right? So if we're talking about this same God would give people a language that they can pray in that they don't understand with their mind, all right, that's not a learned language. And you think, well, that's weird. Well, you know, just take a number and join the weird line. Because, you know, the moment you got born again and believed in Jesus Christ, you kind of entered into a bit of weirdness. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't make you weird. It is wonderful. It is fruitful. It is awesome. The benefits of what God does in our life. It doesn't make you strange, all right? But it is, and when we're saying weird, what we're really saying is it is supernatural, all right? It is not something you can learn in a textbook, all right? It is something that comes from the Lord, all right? So let's look at these two gifts, because these two gifts, there's uniqueness about these gifts among the nine. One of the uniqueness about these gifts is that for them to be a blessing to the church, they have to be in operation together, tongues and the interpretation of tongues. All right. In fact, obviously, the interpretation of tongues would never stand alone. It would be always linked with tongues. Okay. So the gift of tongues is a supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit in languages never learned nor understood by the speaker that may or may not be understood by the hearer. The gift of the interpretation of tongues is the supernatural showing forth by the Holy Spirit the meaning of an utterance in other tongues. Now, what we have, and we have a wonderful blessing in that 1 Corinthians 14, we have a whole chapter, and we'll look at some key passages there now, that explains how these gifts are used. All right, now, the gift of tongues is not, all right, the gift of tongues is not someone who learns languages naturally. All right, I get so jealous when I'm around my friend Christopher Alam. And anytime we go out to eat, and he loves going out to eat, he'll always see somebody, and he'll start speaking in Arabic, or Hindi, or Swedish, or Norwegian. or French. And I just sit there, you know. And so, you know, he's lived in multiple countries and that, but here's the thing. That learning languages is not the gift of tongues. Now, why can we say that? Because that isn't what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14. As it explains what it is, it in no way implies that that is what it is. All right, now, I do know, you know, missionaries. I've got a couple friends, one's in Mexico, one's in Peru. My friend that's in Peru, when he went there and he had to learn Spanish, he said it took him forever. It was like pulling teeth. But he's been there for over 30 years and preaches and teaches and gets on very well. Guy in Mexico, he said I went to Guatemala, and he says it was as if somebody just dropped Spanish down in my heart, and I just learned it so quickly. All right, now that is neat, and that even might be something that the Lord does, but that is not the gift of tongues. All right, and I would, if that was it, I would certainly ask for that one. All right, again, the gift of interpretation of tongues is not a gift that God gives Wycliffe Bible translators. All right, so they go into a part of the world where the Bible is not known. Sometimes the speech that is used by a people group, it's not even yet codified. It's not in written form. And so they learn the language, they write down the language, and then they translate the Bible into that language. All right, that is awesome. And that is wonderful. It is not the gift of the interpretation of tongues, because that is in no way implied in 1 Corinthians 14 as how that is used. Okay, but here's what I want to challenge is people have been doing this for years, and this must annoy God, is that miracles and supernatural things in the Bible, people try to explain in human form. Okay, when the children of Israel, 1.5, 2 million people, went across the Red Sea, the Bible says they went across on dry ground. Okay, some theologians would say, well, you know, it wasn't really exactly dry ground. It was just the season of that year, the tide was low. And so, you know, it was about ankle deep and they could walk through. Well, then why did Pharaoh's army drown in ankle deep water? No. The supernatural stuff in the Bible, it really happened. This is not Aesop's fables. This is not Lord of the Rings. This really happened, folks. Okay, and so if God says there are things called miracles, healings, let's thank God for doctors. Aren't you glad for medical doctors? All right, but they do not have gifts of healings. They've got awesome knowledge, right? Amen? But let's not naturalize what God has said is from him and is supernatural. All right. Again, just to review, 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 14, and we'll be spending a fair amount of time looking at a few passages here. All right. Now, what it seems like when Paul wrote the church at Corinth, what it seems as though is that people got really excited about speaking in tongues. And so in meetings, and many of the, many of what, when the New Testament was birthed, a lot of the meetings that took place are what we would refer to as cell groups or connection groups. They were in people's homes, all right? And they were not large gatherings like we have today, all right? And thank God for times where we get together with other believers and things like connection groups. And so what was happening is people were getting together, and they would just kind of just speak in tongues. And this one would, and that one would. And what Paul, one of the things he was writing is while that might be beneficial to you as a person in your devotional life, and he explains that, it doesn't really help anybody else because they don't understand what you're saying. In order for it to be a blessing to the body, it must be understood. All right? That utterance must be able to be received. All right, if God is saying something, it has to be understood. So last week we looked at the gift of prophecy, which is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue. That is a language that we understand, but it doesn't come from our head. It comes from the Holy Spirit. All right, so let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, and we read this last week. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries or divine secrets. He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort, notice, to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies who? Himself. Not men, all right, but himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues. And if I could put in my parentheses here, I agree, Paul. I'm with you. But even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless he indeed interprets. Okay, so tongues, interpretation. We see that in verse 5. That the church may receive edification. All right, so in order for tongues to bless the body or a group of Christians, it must be accompanied with the gift of interpretation of tongues. All right, now, privately, and Paul talks about in this passage, privately, tongues has the benefit that you speak forth mysteries. Romans 8 says, when we don't know how to pray as we ought, we don't know. Our mind is limited, all right? We speak mysteries. The Bible says we edify ourselves, all right? So there's a wonderful benefit privately or in our devotional life, okay? But in order for the church to receive edification, it must be understood, okay? So as we said, for it to be a blessing to the body, and again, the gifts are a blessing to the body, all right? They have to go together. Now, one of the things, and I think if you, whenever you look at 1 Corinthians 14, and a lot of people get confused about it, but there's one key to understanding that whole chapter is that Paul, and I feel like he's very clear in it, but other people, it seems like, get tripped up. Paul, when he's speaking about tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, he refers to two aspects. The private life of someone in their prayer life, their devotional life, okay, of speaking in other tongues, speaking to God, edifying themselves, those things. And then the public administration of speaking in tongues. Private, public. All right, so can you just say, well, tongues is tongues? No, because it has a private use and purpose and a public use and purpose. If you think about, all of us understand this when it comes to water, okay? In the last 2 days, all of us used water in different ways, all right? We used water probably to cook a meal. We used water to drink, and it hydrated us, and our body needs water, all right? But we also took the same water and we dumped it on us. We got into a bath, or we turned a thing and the shower head water got on us, all right? Now, well, but water is water. Yeah, it's water, but it has different purposes. Same water can make you clean. The same water can refresh you. And here's the thing. How many of you realize we need both purposes? We need both purposes of water if we're gonna live a happy life. And so what Paul, and I think he makes a great case for this in 1 Corinthians 14, is use both purposes wisely and biblically and get the benefit from both. So here over on the private side, we receive edification. We talk to God. We'll see more. It says we give thanks well. All right. Over on the public side, tongues and interpretation means that there's a message, an utterance that God wants to communicate with the body of Christ. All right. Are you following me? All right, everybody say private. Everybody say public. All right. So, now, in one sense, you know, I thought, well, Lord, you know, we have prophecy, which is an utterance in a known tongue. Why do you have prophecy and then tongues and interpretation? And I think, and we're going to see this next week when it comes to healing, you know, God has many different avenues for us to get healed. Why? Because he wants you healed. God has different avenues to communicate to us. Why? Because he wants us to hear. And there are things that he wants us to know. All right? And so, thank God, he simply has different ways to communicate this. Now, something else that's unique about tongues and interpretation of tongues, of the nine gifts, those two are the only gifts that are not seen in the Old Testament or in the ministry of Jesus Christ. All right? And really, the New Testament started when Jesus died and when he was raised from the dead. So it's a distinction to the church age in which we live. All right, turn back to 1 Corinthians 14. And we're going to look at a few of these passages. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, right? That is, again, in an unknown tongue. Paul says, I do both, all right? How will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks? Isn't it interesting that they said amen even back then? Amen. Yeah, okay. Since he does not understand what you say. For indeed you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. All right, so you give thanks well, but no one understands you. And that's why when we come to church at Miracle Life, you know, we put lyrics up on the board. Why? So you can see them, understand them. All right. We if it's a new song, we learn it because God wants to use our mind and our heart. All right. Now in your personal life, there are times where Paul said, you know, sometimes I praise the Lord, I thank the Lord in the spirit, in tongues. All right. It's not coming from my understanding. And he says, I do that well, but people don't understand. So there is a private side to tongues, all right? Now, on the private side of tongues, there may or may not be interpretation, all right, because it's not necessarily needed, all right? Now, I know sometimes when we come together we have different prayer meetings in the church, and we may have an impression from the Lord to pray along a certain line or a certain thing, And we just maybe just have a subject or something, and we'll pray. Sometimes we'll start off, and we pray what we know. We pray what we are aware of, all right? And then Romans 8, the Holy Spirit helps us with our infirmities. We don't know how to pray as we ought, okay? So we yield to other tongues, and we pray about that. And sometimes, but sometimes not, there'll be, in a sense, an illumination of understanding where you realize, oh, I think we're praying about this. Or sometimes somebody will speak forth, you know, I feel like the Lord is leading us or saying this. Where I went to university, Oral Roberts University, Brother Roberts, God used him a lot in his personal life with tongues and interpretation, in his devotional life. In fact, when they bought the land for ORU, I can't remember how many hundreds of acres or whatever, and it was just farmland, and Brother Robert said he would just walk, and he would just walk along the land, and he would speak in other tongues, and he would just pray and seek the Lord. And many, many times as he would be praying in other tongues, he would interpret, and he would speak forth. This is where the library is going to be. There's going to be a men's dormitory and a women's dormitory. And you think, well, that's kind of strange, a way to do planning. Well, you know, go there. The buildings exist. Hundreds of millions of dollars. How was it birthed? Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, I'm not saying that's how you should build your next house. Okay. But it was how God said, this is how I want it done. In fact, when God told Brother Roberts to build a university, he said, found it on the Holy Spirit. Found it on the Holy Spirit. And he most certainly did. All right? So, wonderful, wonderful benefits in our personal life. And that's why Paul, later in this chapter, he tells the church of Corinth, he said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Okay? But he was referring to his personal life. Okay? And I really believe that when you look at Paul's life, this guy was tough. I mean, he had a supernatural strength. He was like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, he just kept going and going and going, never stopped. And the stamina he had and the revelation and the love. And I personally believe that was one of the sources of that power, all right, was the fact that Paul admitted, he said, I speak in tongues a lot in my personal life. Okay, and it strengthens him. Now, let's look, because really what we're talking about today is tongues and interpretation in a public setting. Okay, look over in 1 Corinthians, hold 1 Corinthians 14, but go back to 1 Corinthians 12, all right? So, what we see is that from Acts and the different churches is that the private use of tongues is for everyone. Okay, it is something that God has made available to all. All right, and it's not a select few. But what we see in Paul's writings here is the public ministry of tongues and interpretation that isn't for everybody. Not everyone will have that type of ministry. 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has appointed these in the church. Everybody say in the church. Okay. In the church means in the body of Christ and for the body of Christ. Apostles, prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Okay, what's the answer to that? Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? No. All right. Now, in this list, it's talking about the public ministry of all of those gifts. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is no and no. All right. But somebody says, see, I don't like to speak in tongues. And Paul says, we don't have to. Do all speak in tongues? No. Well, folks, let's be honest and fair. Everything that he's talking about there is talking about the public ministry of that. Okay? If tongues was not for everybody, we would see that demonstrated in the book of Acts. Okay? So if it's, you know, for 50% or 70%, then we would have seen that in demonstration. Because when we see, and there's five instances of people being baptized in the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And when that happens, the Bible is very clear, and they all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It is the initial evidence, and not just in the beginning, but it carries on in your life, of this Spirit-filled life. And so if tongues was just for a select few, then we would see that in the Bible. So in Acts chapter 19, the Holy Spirit, as they were listening to Paul, he would have, you know, it would have said, well, and you know, 30% got baptized in the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues, and 70% didn't because that wasn't God's will. We would see that. But friends, we don't. There's no instance in the book of Acts where God just picks a few and then leaves a few because he chose this one and he didn't choose that one. Okay, now, what's clear is, in the church, in a public ministry setting, okay, and some of us will live and die. And of those nine gifts, God will never use us publicly in those gifts. When we talk about the power gifts, there's the gift of faith. As far as I know, since I've been a Christian, that's only operated in my life one time. Why? I don't know. When we get to heaven, we can have a question and answer period of time. But there's others of those gifts where it seems it's more frequent. All right. And really a lot of it comes down to our assignment, right? Or what is necessary or needful for other people. It's not like you go into the ice cream shop. Strawberry, bubble gum, banana. I like that one. That's not how God does the gifts, that you kind of get to just choose the one you like. Amen? It comes with his calling, and as we become available to him to say, Father, make me a blessing to this world, make me a blessing to other people, then the Holy Spirit will begin stirring in our hearts. All right? Some of the folks that we have here on our care team, I know some of them for years and years and years. You can't put them around a sick person. They're like my little dog with a bird. They just attack it. You know why? Because that's just how God has wired them. And there are accompanying gifts to help minister to sick people. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't he awesome? All right. Go back to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And let's look at verse 18. Acts 14, verse 18. Paul says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all, yet in the church. Okay, so verse 18 is not talking about the church, is it? He says, I speak in tongues more than all of you, yet in the church. Okay? Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. It would seem from what Paul said here is that while Paul had a very rich devotional life in tongues, perhaps he was not used by God much or even at all in a public way of tongues and interpretation. Okay? So, this was Paul bringing them correction of understanding. Water is used for this, and over here, it's used for this, okay? And really, again, it's about benefiting other people. Let's keep looking at 1 Corinthians 14. Let's drop down to verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together? Now, again, remember, they didn't have big auditoriums. These were in homes, okay? Most of these places, these assemblies. Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. We see that phrase and this concept throughout this, don't we? It's to bless other people. Verse 27, if anyone speaks in a tongue, again in a public setting, let there be two or at the most three, in each in turn, let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent. Where? In the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. All right? Let two or three prophets speak. Let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. You get the idea that when you went to the Corinthian church, there was a fair amount of kind of mayhem, right? And chaos and just kind of and just a lot of stuff going. So he, one of the things he was saying is, you know, take a number, wait in line, take your turn till it's time for you to do what God's going to do through you. All right. Verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And I think that's a very, very important phrase that Paul mentions, is that there have been some silly things that have happened kind of in the name of the Holy Spirit. And people say, well, I just couldn't help it. Well, no, what Paul is saying is you can help it. Okay? The spirits of the prophets is subject to the prophet. Okay? And that's why it was when he said, I'm giving you this wisdom, don't kind of blame it on the Holy Ghost. Well, he just made me do it. Well, that's kind of funny. Why doesn't he make you tithe? Just a thought. All right. Verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Okay, so again, we see in the church, the public ministry of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Verse 40 mentions this, let things be done decently and in order. All right, so we should, in all the ways that we think about the gifts and administer the gifts, it should all be to honor the Holy Spirit. All right, now, how, and there's a couple ways that we can honor the Holy Spirit. One is allowing Him to manifest Himself the way He wants to. Okay, and so there are times in your life, and as you know, you meet with Christians or in your family or whatever that setting is. Okay, that the Holy Spirit will nudge you and urge you, and you'll realize, you know, I need to step out. Okay, now let me encourage you along these lines. Very few people are good at anything when they start. Okay, Michael Jordan did not make his grade 8 basketball team. He was bad, all right? There were a bunch of kids, and they said, no, you skinny kid, Michael, you go home, all right? So he wasn't very good, but later he got pretty good, okay? And as you begin to step out in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, please, please don't be afraid that you're going to mess up, okay? Because here's the thing, probably God is not going to have, you know, you're not going to be at a Benny Hinn crusade that is being shown worldwide for your first chance, you know, to give forth a prophecy. That's probably not going to be that the platform that God uses you, and it maybe later, but initially, right? And I would just encourage you, follow the Lord, follow the Holy Spirit, and let's not quench the Holy Spirit. Let's not tell Him, I don't like that. You know, ABC, but these other things, I don't want you to do that for me or through me or to me. No. I'm educated. I'm prim and proper. And please let me, I understand first service, because most of the students are still asleep right now while we're in first service, okay? And thank God for the many of you, the life that you live and the dedication you've had to get degrees and what you're doing in the community. It's a wonderful thing, all right? And throughout the week, you use your brain in a wonderful way. And there's some other folks that could use more of their brain, okay? But the danger is, If we're using our brain a lot and we can figure things out and we're smart and thank God for all of that, then we sometimes discount the moving of the Holy Spirit. We discount the supernatural. Okay? And let's not do that. Amen? Paul, boy, this guy was smart. If Paul wasn't an apostle, he would have been the best lawyer of his day. Okay? He could out-argue anybody. All right, so he really was an educated guy, had a sharp mind, but he also allowed God to use him supernaturally and in the Holy Spirit. But also, I think to honor the Holy Spirit is that we do things in a way that is biblical, that is understood, that is with humility. Okay, the gifts of the Spirit are not meant for entertainment. Okay, I remember one time an evangelist that I came across as he would travel in churches, he what he felt like is that people, they would get so entertained that, you know, if a miracle would take place or something would happen, he would always kind of feel like there were people on the front row, like in the Olympics in the old days before signboards and stuff. You know, they'd put up a board, you know, 5.2. You know, you did a good job on the miracle, but you didn't stick the landing. 5.2, we're going to deduct a few points, you know. And that people were just kind of seeking to be entertained. Let's not do that. Let's not buy into that kind of a model of ministry. Amen? So we do need biblical guidelines and wisdom, okay? We also need not just imitate something that we see. It needs to be genuine. It needs to be real. Amen? And so that's why I would encourage you, and as we've said at different times during this series, take time in prayer and seek the Lord. And I certainly have been in my own life. Father, use me to a greater degree. Lord, make me a greater blessing to people. And I know Paul told this to Timothy one time. He said, God has not given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And I know there's been times where I feel like God really, you know, he would have me say something to someone privately. And I realized, you know, Lord, that probably isn't going to be what they're looking to hear. You know, they're not going to go, hallelujah. And so sometimes I would hold it or sit on it. All right. And God's dealing with me to be more confident and more bold in him, that if he has something to say, say it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Another thing I think we need to keep in mind is that, do you remember Elijah when he kind of had ups and downs in ministry and God was communicating and speaking to him, and there was an earthquake and there was a wind, but it says God wasn't in the earthquake. God wasn't in the wind. Where was God? In the still, small voice. And I think it comes to in the gifts of the Spirit that sometimes we can miss the supernatural because we are seeking the spectacular. Okay? Let me say that again. We miss the supernatural because we are seeking the spectacular. Right? Let's let God move how he desires to move. All right? And let's just let's flow with him. All right? So let's, as we're instructed, let's desire the best gifts for the body and in the body. Amen? And let's be open to God for him to minister to us through those gifts, but also to step out and let him use us to minister to others in a great way. Amen? Would you bow your head with me? Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for these gifts that you have given. Lord, the gifts of utterance, of prophecy, of tongues, and interpretation of tongues in a public setting, Father. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you are speaking and you're saying. And so, Father, we seek to listen to you and we seek to hear from you. And, Lord, in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our gatherings, Father, we simply say, have your way. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Not just on Sunday morning from 8 to when we leave, but in our whole life. You are welcome. You are welcome, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your guidance, for your goodness, for your life. Thank you, Father. Before we go today, I believe God wants to minister to some folks. First of all, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can know him. You can know him. 2,000 years ago when Jesus came, he demonstrated the love of God. And one of the things that he showed when he lived on the earth was that he loved everybody. In a sense, people who had some importance about them and their title, or they were rich. Jesus loved kids and he loved everyone in between. And today, Jesus Christ loves you. Perhaps you've not been raised as a Christian. Maybe you've been raised in another religion or worldview. Jesus Christ loves you. He cares for you. Maybe you were raised in a church, but you really didn't know him personally. And I remember, you know, hearing about him, but I was like Nicodemus when he came to Jesus. I was not born again. There was not a change on the inside. And as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot make ourselves good enough for God to accept us. And thankfully, no one in this room is bad enough for God to reject, because all of your sin and the whole world's sin was put on Jesus. He paid the price, and now he offers you a brand new life. It's a life of forgiveness. It's a life of restoration. Whatever you've messed up, he can restore. He can do that. He's that wonderful. Maybe you are a Christian and you, in a sense, you've turned away from God. You've turned your back on him. Well, you can come home. We see in Luke 15, the prodigal son, he realized how messed up his life was, and he came home to his father. If that's you, come home to Jesus. Come home to a God who will love you, he'll cleanse you, he'll make everything right. If you're here today and you realize, you know, Pastor, when you're talking about these things, I feel like you're talking to me. Well, it's not me talking, it's the Holy Spirit. It's God urging you and compelling you. Now, the next step is for you to trust him, for you to take a step of faith and to say, God, I receive Jesus Christ. God, I come home to you. See, he's reaching out to you, and now it's your turn to reach out to him. We do that, by the Bible says, by what we say with our mouth and what we believe in our heart. And if you're here right now and you say, you know what, I realize I need to know him and I want to know him. I need to come home from a place of sin. Wherever you are right now, reach up your hand to the Lord and say, God, that's me. That's me. I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to follow you with all my heart, to love you and to serve you. I'm coming home to you today. Anyone at all, God loves you and he cares for you. And today can be your day of salvation. We don't want to miss you. Anybody at all, you're in this place. Say, Pastor, I'm going to pray that prayer. I'm going to know Jesus Christ like that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Well, we might be all family today. Why don't we stand to our feet? Let's stand to our feet. Before we go, a couple other things we want to do and just make available to you today. If there's a need in your life, if you're facing something and you realize, you know, I need God to come through for me, and I want to pray with someone. And we have folks, great team of people that will stand on God's word with you, and they'll agree and will pray a prayer of faith and see God come and work in your life. And so please come forth as we close the service. Please come, and we would love to pray with you. If you're here today, and as we were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and tongues, and you realize